It really matters that we have a bold faith. And we see that fact in the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We see this courageous faith in how they conducted themselves, as we see in Daniel chapter 3. So I invite your attention to this really famous chapter in the Bible, which gives us the story of the three young Jewish men who had been taken into exile by the Babylonians, but who stayed resolute in their worship of the one true God. Now, the biblical account found here is well known. We remember from our Sunday school days the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. My shack, your shack, and a bungalow. Remember, they were in the real estate business. But King Nebuchadnezzar made this huge 90-foot tall by 9-foot wide golden image. The Hebrew word for image implies an image in the very broadest sense, which probably means it had a human form, it had some human features. It probably had some arms, it probably had some legs, it had a head, a body. Well, you can use your imagination. Nebuchadnezzar gave a command to the gathered dignitaries from really all across the provinces. This whole empire, all the important, the VIPs, had been called to come together. How many people were talking about? I'm not sure. I saw one figure, 300,000. I'm not sure if that's being evangelistic speaking or not. But anyway, there were a lot of people who were called to fall down and worship this golden image when the musical signal was given. And so at the appropriate time, all these princes and governors and captains and judges and treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, all the rulers of the provinces fell down before this image. Except who? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These three young Hebrew men, they did not bend and they did not bow. Now please understand their refusal to worship this Babylonian god, to yield homage to it, was a really big deal. You know, we read about it, we say, oh, well, they didn't worship this golden image. But it was really a big thing they did not do. It was really an act of hostility, open hostility against the kingdom and its monarch. Something so hostile that it was punishable by death. And in this case, it was being cast into a fiery furnace. I mean, that's a big deal to me. I mean, here you are, three people, the only three people out of the midst of several thousands of people, and you do not bow down and worship this image that the king has set up. The king has authorized to build and to set up and now to worship. And you refuse to do so, knowing that there is severe punishment ahead. Do we get the picture? It's a big deal for not worshiping this image. Well, upon hearing of this in their insubordination, of course, Nebuchadnezzar, the kingpin, became involved. Notice verse 13 of Daniel chapter 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. It's getting hotter, isn't it? Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at the what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well." In other words, I'm going to give you another chance. Maybe you just did not understand. Maybe you just didn't understand what it meant when the music began to play. "But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" In other words, the God that you claim to worship, he isn't powerful enough to deliver you out of my hands. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." In other words, we have no need to answer thee. Wow. It's getting hotter. Amen? I mean, you know, when it's like when the general comes by and you say, "I'm not going to salute." If it be so, in other words, if it be his will, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. We will not worship your God. That's bold faith. Amen? So here we see described the faith, the courageous, the bold faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it's on full display. I mean, everyone, you talk about peer pressure. Everyone knows that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bend. Everyone knows, and now the king knows. By the way, they were tattled on. Have you ever been tattled on for doing right? Now notice again Nebuchadnezzar's words in verse 15. "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand?" Who is that God? In other words, I mean, it wasn't really a question, it was a statement. Now certainly this king was quite conscious of the demonstration of the superiority of the Hebrew God over the Babylonian gods in interpreting his dream in Daniel chapter 2. I mean, that had just happened. But he could not bring himself, and I think there was a lot of pride, I think there was a lot of ego, I think there was, "I'm Nebuchadnezzar." He could not bring himself to believe that the God of these Hebrew young men had the power to deliver them from their present circumstance. In fact, he was so confident in his own power that he did not expect any god to interfere, which reminds me of the Assyrians who made the same blasphemous claim when they were threatening King Hezekiah. How many of you remember that story? Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, as we read earlier in verse 16, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." Now, it might seem that these young men were showing great disrespect by saying, "We don't need to answer thee in this matter. We don't need to respond to you." For after all, they were addressing the king of Babylon. They were addressing the most powerful king on earth. But really what they were saying was, this conversation isn't productive. It's not going anywhere. It's not necessary because your threats at throwing us into a fiery furnace if we don't worship your image are not going to change our minds. We are not going to worship your golden image, period. We've said it. We don't need to say it again. We've said it by our actions. We are steadfast in our commitment to the one true God. Which brings us to reason number one for their bold faith, and that is they were committed to God. Notice verse 18, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the image which thou hast set up. Now please understand, being committed to God is spelled obedience to God. Being obedient to God's commands found, for example, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, 4, and 5, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of thy fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And we call such people righteous. You know, when people obey God's commands, they are righteous people. And according to our memory verse, righteous people are bold people. Isn't that what we are memorizing? The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a what? As a lion. Ladies and gentlemen, committed people are righteous people. They're obedient people. You can tell how committed you are to God, to Christ, by how obedient you are to Him. And obedience to Him brings to pass a boldness for God. One of the early church fathers named Athanasius, a champion of the doctrine and deity of Christ, and who was not shy in defending this doctrine, was once told, Athanasius, the emperor is against you, the bishops are against you, and the church is against you. In fact, the whole world is against you, Athanasius. To which Athanasius responded, then I am against the whole world. That is bold faith. But what's wrong with having bold faith in a God who is the God of the universe? A God that no man can stand against. Why not stand with a God that no man can stand against? Why should we stand with the gods of the world? And yet, how often we do. Again, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their words were, Mr. King, we will not serve your gods, nor worship your image. End of discussion. And again, why such boldness? They were committed to God. How committed are you to God? I think that's where our bold faith begins. Which then leads to having a confidence in God, which is reason number two for their bold faith. Ladies and gentlemen, when you are truly committed to God, you will have a strong confidence in God. Notice verse 17, if it be so, in other words, if it be God's will, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. You know, that's confidence. But if not, even if he does not rescue us, we will not serve or worship your gods. Notice again the four words of verse 17. Our God is able. The God we serve is able to deliver us. That's confidence. Amen? Now, ladies and gentlemen, you should be so committed to God, you should be so obedient to God that you have that same confidence in God. Amen? You know, I have found when I'm obedient to God, I get to know who God is. And I find out that He is a pretty strong God. And that pretty strong God is a God that I can be pretty confident in. Amen? And notice, in saying there that God is able, that they didn't say God will deliver us. They said God is able to deliver us. But they said, they weren't presumptuous. They were not haughty. They were not demanding of God. They were not asking God even for a miracle. They weren't saying, God, oh God, please rescue us. They simply said, if our God chooses, if it be His will, He is able to deliver us. And if not, though He slay us, yet will we trust Him. Whether it be by life or by death, let Christ be magnified, let God be magnified in our bodies. He knows what is best. He knows what will glorify Him most. I say that is confidence in God. And when we see our God as able, as the able one, as a God of whom nothing is too hard, when we see Him as the one who steals our enemies and avengers, who prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, who smites all of our enemies upon the cheekbone and breaks the teeth of the ungodly. I mean, as I preached a while back from Psalm 3, what can a broken, teethless jaw devour? Nothing. And that's what God does to our enemies. So why not have confidence in Him? Why not be committed to such a God? Again, then we too will have a confidence in our God in the face of our foes. And we will say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. As I call upon Him, I know He will answer me and show me great and mighty things which I know not. Ladies and gentlemen, our commitment to God leads to a confidence in God, which then leads to a consciousness of God, which is reason number three for our boldness. Look with me at verse 19. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. It seems like he was always full of fury here. Verse 13, he was full of fury. Now he's full of fury again. By the way, and this speaks to me, watch out for an angry man. An angry man is not a spirit-controlled man. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace seven times more than it was wont to be heated. Now actually, this was not a good move. A slow fire, more of a less heated fire, would have been much more torturous for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen? It would have taken longer to kill them. They would have had to suffer for a greater period of time. But when a man gets full of fury, he gets full of folly. As someone has said, there's no fool on earth like a man who has lost his temper, which caused Nebuchadnezzar to do a stupid thing. You get angry and you do stupid things. Again, in his anger, he had the furnace heated seven times hotter. Well, let's continue. Notice verse 20. And he commanded the most, I think this is significant, the most mighty men that were in his army. I mean, he was going to make sure these guys, I mean, they felt every ounce of his fury. So he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, They were going to be bound so tight that they could not get find deliverance or get out of this binding, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen or their pants, their trousers, and their hats and their other garments. In other words, they didn't even take time to say, remove your outer garments, we'll just bind you. In other words, they said, we need to get this taken care of now. And they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire, notice, slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That should have been a sign right there to Nebuchadnezzar. Things weren't going as he thought they should go. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose. Loose. I thought they had been bound. Four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. When Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fiery furnace, instead of seeing three men, he saw four. Instead of being bound, they were free. Instead of writhing in pain and anguish in the flames, they were simply walking about in the fire, making no attempt to escape. You know, if you were unbound in the fire, what would you want to do? Get out of there. Now, the fact that they did not seek to escape meant that they were not being what? Burned. They weren't suffering pain. And further, and most astounding of all, the form of the fourth person that Nebuchadnezzar saw in the flames with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was, some translators say, a son of the gods. The King James says, the son of God. I personally believe what Nebuchadnezzar saw was what we call in theology a Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of the pre-incarnate Son of God. I believe Jesus was with them in the flames. Didn't Christ say, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee? And we can say what boldness, what strength, the very conscious presence of Christ gave these Hebrew young men. Ladies and gentlemen, just think about this. When you're committed to Christ, when you're committed to being obedient to Him, there is a certain confidence you have. I mean, God is with you. And then there's a certain consciousness of His presence. He makes Himself present with you. And the last time I checked, you and God make a what? A majority. One of the blessings of being obedient is knowing of the presence of the Lord. He's not distant. He's near. If for no other reason to be obedient, it is to experience the presence of the Lord. Can I be honest? You're never really lonely when you know He's with you. You never feel lost when you know He's with you. You never really feel like, oh me and oh my, when He's with you. There's something about the presence of the living God that's dynamic, that's so satisfying. And thus, these young men could claim God's promise in Isaiah 43, verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overthrow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. They knew they served a God who would never leave them nor forsake them. Now, let me say, people can be very cruel and mean. Their enmity can be a source of many flames that seek our destruction. But a consciousness of the very presence of God brings us, as I've already indicated, strength and courage and boldness. For God that removes from our hearts the fear of man, which brings a snare, replaces it with a trust in Him that leads to safety and deliverance. I think of Martin Luther during his excommunication from the Catholic Church. He was called to appear before King Charles V and the Roman prelate and all the assembled princes, to whom he spoke these words: "My cause shall be commended to the Lord, for He lives and reigns, who preserved the three Hebrew children in the furnace of the Babylonian king. If He is unwilling to preserve me, my life is a small thing compared with Christ. Expect anything of me except flight or recantation. I will not flee, much less recant. So may the Lord Jesus strengthen me." Wow. That's a man who's committed to God. Again, the words of Hebrews 13:6, "The Lord is my helper. He is with me. I know of His presence. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Well, what was the outcome of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's courage, that boldness for God, which was founded upon their commitment to God, which then led them to their confidence in God, which then brought them into a consciousness of God? Well, the answer, deliverance. Deliverance from their enemies. And please understand, this deliverance was not from the fiery furnace, but in the fiery furnace, through the fiery furnace, which tells us God does not promise that there won't be any fires. For the Christian life is a series of fiery furnaces. Amen? That is life. That is the norm. Life is one trial, one tribulation after another as we move counter to the wicked and evil culture of this world. But the difference for us is we don't go through these difficulties alone. The presence of God is always with us. I'm sure you're familiar with the words from the great hymn, "How Firm a Foundation." "When through fiery trials my pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine." Again, in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's deliverance, the following resulted. Let me give you four brief results. Result number one, their foes were killed. Again, verse 22, that because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The mighty, strong men who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace were themselves killed by the heat of the fire. Those who attacked God's children were themselves consumed, while God's children were preserved. Result number two, their bonds. The symbols of Nebuchadnezzar's unbelief and wrath were destroyed in the flames. I love that. Again, that which was binding them was burned away. Verse 25, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire." It is interesting to note that the flames removed what was binding them. Now, isn't it true that God uses fiery trials to burn away that which binds us to the world, to our flesh, the sins and weights that so easily beset us, which tell us fire has a purifying effect, which further tells us God sent trials help us put things in eternal perspective. We figure out what has eternal value and what does not, what lasts and what does not. Let the fires of tribulation burn away that which does not matter, that which does not last, that which does not have eternal value. And then result number three, through their deliverance, their God was honored. Their enemies were destroyed. Their bonds were burned up. Their God was honored. Notice verse 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." What we read under the fact God was honored, Nebuchadnezzar recognized the delivering power of God, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants. Then Nebuchadnezzar commended Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for their trust in God, that trusted in him, have not changed the king's word, yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. And then third, under the fact that God was honored, Nebuchadnezzar made the following decree. Notice verse 29. "Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss or against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill," in other words, a ruin, "because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." In the ancient world, the God with the most power became the most prominent God. Well, following this God miraculous preservation of these Hebrew young men, Nebuchadnezzar declared that the God of the Hebrews would be immediately elevated to the top tier of the Babylonian pantheon. And we declare, what a radical turnabout for Nebuchadnezzar. At the beginning of this chapter, he was full of himself. Now he was full of the awareness of the power of God, of the God of the Hebrews. People are full of themselves when they stand against you and your God. But when you stand up for God, God has ways of making them aware of your God and the power that he has. That awareness doesn't happen when we are not committed to this God. What marvelous things happen, ladies and gentlemen, when we're committed. Isn't it true, when we boldly stand up for Jesus, when we display a similar Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego courage for God, it's not us. It's not us who are ultimately seen. It's the presence and power of the living God. I don't want people, when I stand up for Jesus, and I hope I always stand up for him, but I don't want them to say, "Oh, look at Robert Lane. Look how strong he is." No, I want people to see how strong my God is. And how important it is that we put him before the world on display. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be very frank with you. If you aren't committed to God, you aren't putting God on display before the world. Just mark it down. If you're going along with the flow, you're not putting God on display before the world. But when you're committed to him, then men begin to see who the real God is. And those who witness this divine omnipotence must declare, as did the Israelites on Mount Carmel, in the battle between God and Baal, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." one last result. Their enemies were destroyed, their bonds were burned, their God was honored, and their influence, number four, their influence was enlarged. Verse 30, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. In spite of being separated from their parents and of the corrupting influence of the Babylonian religion, its political pressure, its immorality, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not waver in their hour of testing. And I say, wow. And therefore God honored, and by the way, God always honors the faithfulness of his obedient servants. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego started out being arrested and thrown into a furnace, but they ended up being promoted to positions of power and prominence in the Nebuchadnezzar kingdom. Which makes the point, when we boldly, courageously exalt the living God in our living and maybe even in the face of our dying, God has his ways of exalting us not for our glory, but for the praise of his glory. Now, as we've said at the outset, we face a growing radicalized world where good is evil and evil is good. It's a tough world out there. And where evil is seemingly triumphing. And where on so many fronts, Jesus is very unwelcomed, which means we are unwelcome too. But let us have as our theme for 2017 a building bold faith. And we will be courageous in our walk as we are committed to God, which then leads to a confidence in God, which then leads to a consciousness of God, which then brings the ultimate result, deliverance, conquest, victory over God's enemies. With this I'll close. I think of the words of Psalm 34, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all of his bones, none of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the souls of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. Let us together this year build bold faith.